I just let's just start with what do you want to accomplish in this time? You mentioned that you thought about some topics.
Yeah. Well, as you know, Josh, I always have a million topics whirling around in my head. So maybe you'll be able to help me work through what some of the most important ones are. I think a big thing that's happening with me right now is that in this new role, I'm getting pulled in to so many operational things because nobody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's not the sweet spot of what I want to be doing. It's not the sweet spot of who I want to be for people. Because now I'm trying to get them to follow systems and processes and buy into a strategic planning process, et cetera. Whereas what I want to be doing is I really want to be there to help change the human dynamics. And I don't feel like I'm making an impact in that area. So mostly because I'm distracted and I'm not thinking about what are the really important things that I need to be able to be doing to help the company in that way? Because it really needs it.
Yeah.
So I'm getting distracted. I don't feel like I'm doing a great job at anything. And that's my big overriding challenge.
Mm. Well, I mean, that sounds like a good topic for our hour together.
Yeah.
So if you could... Well, first, let me just ask you, how are you feeling right now?
Well, it's interesting. Part of me is super excited because, you know, I just got a bit of a charge of focus in terms of what I need to really do over the next short term. But also part of me is frustrated because I'm still working through all this process stuff with the company that there's so much resistance around, and I don't feel like I'm doing a good job helping with the resistance, and that's the work that I want to be doing. That's mm-hmm. the stuff that I think is going to make a difference.
Okay, so how do you want to be feeling in, I don't know, 45 minutes?
Let me see, in 45 minutes, I'd love to be feeling, I would love to just be feeling calm. I think a little calmer and clearer on just knowing how I can shift what I'm doing to make me just feel like I'm more in that space. I want to feel like I'm confident that I can help with the things that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not really a feeling, but.
Well, confident.
Confident, calm.
Yeah.
Not so frenetic.
Clear.
And certainly not as frustrated.
Okay.
With the people, because that makes me not as good at doing what I need to do.
Okay. So shall that be our plan for this session?
Sure.
Okay. So one of the things we talked about before you stepped into this role
mm-hmm.
was that as an outsider, you had a certain freedom.
Yes.
And I remember we talked specifically about this issue of like when you step inside, people are going to treat you differently.
Yeah.
And the expectations are going to be different.
Yeah.
So what is sucking you in to, well, let me ask you another question first, actually, because I think there's two pieces here, right? One is what other people's expectations are, and another is what your own expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
So between others and you, what is sucking you into that operational stuff?
Yeah, so I think the good news is that what's sucking me in is me. the good news is, I guess I can control that in a certain way. You know, I arrive at the company, I'm in a very senior role, I have a lot of influence, and I see a lot of stuff that needs to be done that I know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's doing it. and nobody has accountability for it, and no one's going to do it. So, you know, part of it is the COO resigned basically the week I started.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cause and effect there, by the way. So, and it's interesting. I can see now, and I was working with her beforehand, and I can see now all her frustrations up front. Now, they're not frustrating me to the level that they were her, because I don't have this need for millions of people reporting to me, or et cetera, et cetera. What I have a need for is being able to facilitate change. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to influence. And I think I'm doing it in pockets, but sorry, I'm going to go around in circles here for a second, but something has just occurred to me recently. It feels to me like I actually have an opportunity to do the work I want to be doing while also doing this other more operational work, simply by bringing more awareness to what the issues are that are getting people stuck, and helping coach people through how to manage that. So not get sucked into the problem.
Mm.
And I think I've been doing some of that. So,
so you're getting sucked into the problem.
Yeah.
And I asked you, what's sucking you in? And you said, it's you.
It's me. It's the work. I get involved in the work. I start trying to solve the problems. And I'm not now talking about the human challenges. I'm now talking about, because I feel like they're not seeing it, and so I can help.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, and I get into the strategic conversations. I'm very comfortable having those conversations. I've done it a million times over. And so I get involved in the actual strategy. But I try
in
to remind myself
of the strategy, you mean?
No, in actually trying to determine what the strategy would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not my job. But not only is it not my job, it's why I left the business world, so I can focus on the other underlying factors, which are really causing tons of problems in this company.
So go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I'm sorry this is so confusing, because it's still confusing to me, but I like doing that work sometimes.
Yeah.
And I find it really exciting. And it's a company that's moving really fast with people that are, you know, really stuck trying to solve strategic problems.
What's your pattern that's coming up right there? Okay, so you're in this meeting and you're going, whoa, this is a cool problem, and we could make this, I don't know what you're saying, but there's something, you know, there's some narrative going on and there's some feelings going on. And then what's your pattern?
Yeah, so my pattern in those scenarios is I jump in to solve the problem. Jump in and contribute.
What's the stimulus? When what? I jump in.
Right. So when I see an opportunity, I jump in and contribute. I get involved. I get mucked up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually those moments of helping push the strategy along make me happy. Like those are, I feel like they make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like I'm not making a difference is I'm trying to help the company. One of our biggest areas of frustration in the company is that people feel like the management team is not aligned. People feel like the management team is disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the process of trying to help the organization implement a planning process, and implementing a management system for tracking it, like quarterly priorities, to solve for that problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work I hate. And it's consuming all my time and energy. And I'm terrible at it.
Mm.
Like this is what the COO I was imagining doing with her. I was actually imagining her doing this. She's good at this. I'm not. So
let me slow you down for a second.
Because I
think there's two really interesting things happening here. Okay, so let's go, let's just slow motion You're in a meeting. Okay. And you're seeing this opportunity and you're jumping in. And if you can watch it in slow-mo, what's really motivating you to jump in? What are you looking for?
I want us to grow, to succeed, to, I really, really want us to win. That's what I want us to do. Mm-hmm. I want us to win.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see strategies that are too small, they're thinking too small or too narrow,
mm-hmm.
I want to push the thinking. I want to change the perspective. I want to make it bigger.
But you just said that's not what you're doing. You're jumping in and doing stuff. You're not challenging.
Oh, so that's in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff I'm doing is I'm actually creating the meeting. So I'm actually saying, okay, folks, this is the part I don't want to be doing. This is actually, I think, where my real challenge is. I think you're really helping me parse the pieces out of it. I'm actually saying, guys, we never talk about our future business. Therefore, we're not having the types of conversations that we need to be having together. And so it's nice that we did corporate planning, but now we have to drill that down to what does that mean for the content group? What does that mean for the revenue group? What's that mean for engineering? What's it mean for all these groups?
Mm-hmm.
And so I put together a process,
mm-hmm.
which is not my forte. And I put together a process and said, here's how we're going to go about it. And here's when we're going to have these meetings to review it.
Mm.
And so I'm actually setting up the meetings. And so the resistance is huge.
So you're becoming the person who's driving the process instead of
driving the process.
Who's catalyzing somebody else to drive the process. Is that
right? I am driving a planning process.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a massive amount of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually lost my patience with one of the groups,
mm-hmm.
Which I haven't done in years. I didn't lose it actually really, really badly, but enough that they knew I was fed up with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the, okay, you know the game, the puzzle game?
Mm-hmm.
The huge learning in the puzzle game for this team was that they start something. And then somebody else takes over,
mm-hmm.
they drop it, then mm-hmm. they start something and someone else takes over. So I am determined to have them finish this process. Because what happens is every single step along the way, people start criticizing, but. And I'm trying to get them through.
But are you being the person there who's picking up the ball for them?
No, I'm the one that's holding them to the deadlines and telling them they have to present their strategy on Monday in front of the CEO.
Right, but that's not your job, is it?
No. It's not anybody's job right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's doing it.
Or maybe it's the CEO's job to make sure somebody's doing it.
Arguably, it would be the CEO's job, but the CEOs have never been CEOs before. They've actually never seen a strategic planning process.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is your job in this storyline? If you were not caught up in the inside the process that you were doing,
right.
Your ideal, what would you be doing?
So I think my job in the process would be to figure out what are the tensions in the system,
mm-hmm.
like what's holding us back, where do we get stuck, mm-hmm. In facilitating. All this resistance that is occurring and really trying to understand what's behind all this resistance,
mm-hmm.
what's behind the feedback loop that's missing, you know, why can't revenue and content come together and see things in a common way. And then I think here's the really, really big ones. What is the skill set of these executives and are they actually capable of doing the job that it has grown into because there's been such massive growth in this company that everybody's now in a stretch job.
Mm-hmm.
So to what extent are we going, that's okay, they're in a stretch job because we're a growing company and we're entrepreneurial and we're willing to deal with all the messiness that comes with it. Or do we say, you know what, at this point, we actually need a different skill set? And really getting into those important, so some of them are about relationships. Some of them are about having the right people in the right jobs.
Who would you be having that conversation with?
The CEOs.
Okay, so since there's no CEO, you essentially would be coaching the CEOs.
Yes. Yeah, and that's why I report to. And there's two CEOs, mm-hmm. which is a big reason why the COO job didn't work.
We can talk about that next time. Okay, so you would be, instead of working in the business, you would be working on the business. And really, your job is actually to be a coach to the CEOs.
Yeah, and arguably a coach to the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so today I had a meeting with the CEOs that was a bit of an aha to me, because they heard in Monday on a meeting all this angst around next Monday's meeting, which makes them want to pull the plug and say they're not ready to meet. And so I want to hold everyone's feet to the fire and say that's not the answer, because they can be ready to meet. Mm-hmm. They just are going to, you know, push back against the system because it's hard. So I met with them this morning to say, we need to go forward with these meetings and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how I think we should manage our expectations. And then I said, and here's how we need to be in the meeting.
Mm.
And I had an aha in that moment. So when you asked me how I felt earlier, I went, oh my God, that's an aha. That's where I need to be. I need to be able to coach people on where we need to be in a meeting, how we make these meetings work so that we actually, I mean, we had a horrible meeting on Monday. I just went down a million rat holes. So how we keep these meetings really productive, really constructive, really positive, because the CEOs get really frustrated when things don't happen the way mm-hmm. they think they should be happening, and how I coach them on not getting caught in being concerned that there's a problem, but rather in, this is what I share with them today, rather than just recognizing what are the issues? What are the issues that are still problems that we need to solve for? Not trying to solve for them in the meeting, mm-hmm. not getting angry that they exist, just recognizing them. Mm. And they were like, right, okay, got it. That's how we're going to treat this meeting. We're going to be curious. We're going to figure out what all the unanswered questions are. And then we're going to be really clear on what people need to do next.
It reminds me of that Buddhist thing, suffering comes from denying what is.
Yeah.
And if they're kind of denying, you know, no, it shouldn't be this bad, then they get frustrated.
Yes. And there's a really big, that's in the company everywhere. So what I'm trying to figure out is that's the work I want to be doing.
Okay. So let's just pause for 1 second there and say, can you apply that very same thing to yourself?
Can I apply that to myself? Yeah.
You talk to them about.
I do. You know what? It's interesting. When I found myself getting frustrated with the other group, I had to do a little, Carolyn, you know what? They just are where they are. Mm-hmm. They are where they are. Mm-hmm. And you just got to work with it. And I ended up, you know, one of the groups decided, well, we're not doing it. I said, that's fine. We'll roll with the consequences of that as they come down the road. I think that I'm doing an okay job of that. What I think I'm not doing is I'm not recognizing how many opportunities I have to help change, you know, how we speak to each other, how we, like that whole dynamic, there's a lot of blame that goes on. This is in the entire executive team. And I'm feeling like I need to wait to do training to do that.
Mm.
And I think that's been my mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't need to wait to, yeah, I need to figure out what are my moments every single day and what are the scalable moments? Like, when is it an opportunity to say, this is a thing? Mm-hmm. And can I turn it into something that I talk to everybody about? And then now we all have this understanding about it.
Do you have a piece of paper handy?
I do.
So could you just make a list of, as you're, you know, thinking about these, what you might have been thinking before about training topics?
Yes.
But now you're kind of starting to see as on the job training topics.
Right.
Just write some down. What is talking
okay
for you?
So, like the actual, I mean, because here, you know, this whole, okay. You want me to write down or you want me to talk as I write?
Either way, it's fine.
Okay. I really want to take them all through EQ leadership.
Mm-hmm. And what
and
is
because the, you're and because
what
you're familiar
with that?
What I want to accomplish with that is so many things. So there's a, and this is why it's loaded, and this is why I can't wait for one session to make this happen. So I'm thinking what I really need to do is be thinking about how do I, anyway, let me come back to that because I'm, this is another thing that I have not worked through yet. But so the first is reactivity. There is a significant amount of reactivity in our company.
Mm-hmm.
So something happens, blah. And then what happens with the reactivity is finger pointing, lack of accountability, blame. So they don't even see it as blame. But when they're sitting in a meeting saying, I can't do that because so-and-so hasn't done this, that's blame. Like it's, mm-hmm. they're letting go of their accountability. And that's a common story. I will hear that in so many meetings. I can't do this because, and it's something outside themselves.
Yeah.
And so,
I hear a theme of accountability in this conversation so far.
Absolutely. And if you talk to people about accountability, they would argue that they are all accountable. I think that there's a layer of accountability that people don't really understand or see.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they see that when they say, I can't do something because of some external factor,
mm-hmm.
that is abdicating responsibility. You know, accountability, that mm-hmm. there's an opportunity for them to say, but what I can do is, and that's mm-hmm. not happening. That second piece is not happening.
That's about ownership, right?
Yeah. So ownership, accountability.
And you talked earlier about kind of seeing the connection between what we're doing and the results.
Yes.
You had talked earlier. Yeah. I mean, that's part of accountability too, right? It's like being planful and achieving what we want to achieve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to think about the future while we execute the present.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually very good at executing the present.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that planfulness. And you also mentioned this kind of, well, you said reactivity. You mentioned this kind of lack of curiosity, maybe, or not looking at what's underneath the problem.
Oh yeah. Well, this is what I want to do because I think that when most people describe the problems, they will describe them at a work level, not at a human level. Like mm-hmm. they don't necessarily understand that it's because they're not listening or they're not opening up to someone else's idea, or because, I mean, mm-hmm. everyone has their own thing, or because they have to be right, or because, mm-hmm. And they don't notice that that's their pattern. So that's the second thing, is that I think if this executive team went through this together, the patterns are really interesting. And I think this whole level of self-awareness and self-accountability are hugely important. Then this whole idea of optimism and being able to recognize when they're getting stuck in what they can't do versus what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing when they get stuck in the problem versus when they are working on a solution. So how do they switch?
Mm-hmm.
How do they make that shift from complaining, quite frankly, because there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of it, to really figuring out how to solve for it and what conversations they need to have. So to get there, there's been a lot of trust that's been lost. And we need to really open up, I think, a lot more compassion and understanding. So that whole empathy piece for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I see these silos, and people talk about silos, but I can see it. You know, one group, engineering, no, we're not going to participate. Yes, we want to be on the fifth floor where nobody else is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're isolating themselves from the rest of the group. And we don't do it that way. We do it this way.
So did you write all these things down?
I did. I wrote them all down. I wrote down the reactions. I wrote down accountability, ownership, planning. I wrote down patterns, optimism, trust, and openness and compassion with others.
Okay. So which is the one of those that you most want to work on, where you see the most value to work on? If you could only do one right now.
If I could only do one, I think it would be about... I think it would be about how we shift the mindset, how we get to a mindset of possibility, a mindset of what can we do, a more creative mindset versus a closed mindset that is criticizing and not taking ownership.
Okay. So, and that's your, and that's your wheelhouse, right? Is the culture of innovation.
Yes.
Okay. So if you cut yourself free from a whole bunch of working in the business and focused on working on the business and being the coach to the business, and you are going to spend a large percentage of your time in the next few weeks on that culture of innovation and getting into that more possibility orientation, what are some of the key things you would do?
Well, I do a lot of one-on-one work with people, and I certainly know that during the one-on-one work, I do some of that, but it's not scalable. It's too slow to impact the bigger group.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn this around for a second, okay?
Okay.
I need to make my organization more open and innovative. And you know a lot about my organization. I've got all these different people. I have some time for this. What would you advise me to do?
I think that if that was the case, in your case,
mm-hmm.
I would bring some thought leaders in your organization together
mm-hmm.
and get grounded around purpose
mm-hmm.
and what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're really connected to that purpose, which I think people in your company really, really are, I would do a play to win strategy. Then I would ask the question, what's it going to take for us to win in this way, you know, mm-hmm. to really accomplish this purpose? And therefore, what do we have to be great at? And because of that, if we look at what we have to be great at, where are we now versus where we could be? And what's our first step to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I did 4 weeks ago with this group.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very positive experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's imagine I've done that, and then what do I need to do next?
And then you need to be constantly checking in with people on how they are doing in their contribution to bringing that strategy to life.
And so I would be having a lot of one-to-one conversations, but they would all be on that theme?
Yeah, they would be about, so how are we moving forward? So therefore, in your domain, you know, for instance, you might be speaking with the person who's working in the business world. So there, how are we going to play to win in the business world? Mm-hmm. You know, who's doing this better than us? What ideas can we learn from them? What ideas have we not thought of? What do we need to be great at? Where are we today? And therefore, what are the three priorities that you're going to work on to move it forward? And then, I'll, of course, always checking in. And when you think about this, what about this do you feel really powerfully connected to and motivated by?
So can you do what you just said?
This is what I'm trying to do. So this is how I got involved in creating this process, because reality is the CEO should be doing that, right?
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've asked each of the groups, therefore, let's think about what your play to win strategy is based on what we're doing as an executive group. And then let's meet and talk about it as a group so that we're all understanding how all these things come together.
They don't want to do that part.
Oh, I can't do that until I know this. I can't do that until I know this. Oh, I can't, I need, no, there's too many. Well, this is a problem. That's a problem. Everything's a problem. They're all terrified of actually figuring that out.
Okay. So you're,
and it's complicated. It's not easy. I get it. It's not easy. There's a lot of problems, but,
so you're pushing the rope.
Yes.
Instead of facilitating what? I mean, the CEOs to do that?
Yeah, exactly. So now the CEOs are all in the meeting where, which is what I was coaching them on this morning. They're in the meeting where the two big groups are presenting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the two groups aren't quite ready because mm-hmm. they kept fighting it along the process. But I think it would be wrong to stop it, because I think what we can do is now we can use this meeting to say, okay, what are the things that are keeping you stuck? And we, so I actually feel like, oh, I finally made some progress. So, mm-hmm. but I do think if we spent this meeting talking about what are the things that are getting us stuck as a company, let's just write them all down. And how do we come together to solve for these?
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that I need to have a coaching conversation with the CEOs to hold the two executives that are at the helm of this accountable to doing this. Because mm-hmm. one of them is going to squirm out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the most powerful one because she brings in revenue.
And are the CEOs committed to this?
Oh, yeah. They're very committed to it.
Okay.
But they're angry and frustrated that these guys can't figure this out.
Okay.
Makes them mad. They're really mad.
Well, that might be good. I mean, you know, that might be something you can use. But what I'm hearing you say is that you like this process, but you don't like your role in this process.
Yes. And I think I'm missing an opportunity. I'm not seeing the opportunity to actually still play my role. It's actually starting to become clear as I talk through it. I think when I get caught up in the convincing people of what they have to do to get there, I'm forgetting that I can actually be coaching them and letting the process play out.
Right.
And not getting too stressed out that they are having challenges with it.
Well, and maybe is there some piece of you where you perceive that you're now accountable for them doing what they said they would do because it's your meeting now?
Yeah, you know what? That has crossed my mind a few times, but it's easy for me to let go of that idea. Like when I notice myself thinking that,
mm-hmm.
I go, no, that's not, I'm not worried about that. That's not my, if I let myself go there, which is about protecting my own image of what I'm capable of or effective in, if I go there, then I know I won't do as good of a job.
Right.
So I already know that as a pattern. When I free myself from that, I always do better work.
Yeah.
So it has come up. It isn't, I won't lie, it's come up a few times where I'm like, oh my God, like this whole thing's falling apart. And they're going to think this whole process was a dumb idea, and it's not.
Right.
But I let go of that.
Okay. So what is the next step then for you? What is the next thing for you to let go of so that you can, the process can continue or not? It's not your responsibility. The process can continue or not, but you can play what's really your role in it.
Yeah, so I think my role is to facilitate a really productive conversation.
Right.
And I even changed the name of the meetings because they were their strategy presentations. I've now called them strategy conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so now my role is to facilitate a strategic conversation. And mm-hmm. what I want to be really looking for are the tensions in the room, trying to get to the root of the challenges, of the things that aren't working, so that the CEOs can walk out with specific things.
Can I challenge you on your role for a second?
Yes.
You said your role is to facilitate.
Yes.
Whose meeting is this?
Whose meeting is it? Yeah, well, I set it up. I will.
Whose meeting is it supposed to be?
Oh, I think the meeting is the revenue group has 2 hours and the content group has 2 hours and they need to.
Who should be in charge of the meeting? Who should be the facilitator of the meeting?
I believe the head of content should be able to come in and say, this is my time to share what we're thinking for the content strategy. So she should run that part of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman who's the head of revenue, she should run that part of the meeting. Like okay. they're in charge. Like they know what they're supposed to be doing and they need to step into that role.
Okay. So in other words, it's not your job to facilitate the meeting.
No, it's my job to facilitate the mindset.
Okay. So you're the
what's going to happen? What's that?
You're the coach.
I'm the coach. I need to play the role of the coach in this meeting.
Mm-hmm. And so what are you not going to do?
I am not. Okay, let me see.
That you might, might feel sucked into doing, but you're not going to do it. What are you not going to do?
I think this needs to be more about what I am going to do.
Okay. What are you going to do?
So when I notice that we are going down a rabbit hole, I need to stop the conversation mm-hmm. and I need to bring awareness to what's happening in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to shift the conversation to a more productive place.
Okay. I'm going to stop you again there.
Yes.
You need to shift the conversation?
Yeah, I need to help them
okay.
shift their mindset so that the conversation will shift.
Okay, because it's not your meeting.
It's not my meeting. No, but I'm not going to sit around and let them go into these mindless arguments about things that they can't really answer in the room. And what happens in these meetings is they have these, they're arguing about stuff and they're not actually even having the same conversation.
What's the difference?
It's hilarious.
What's the difference between being the consultant and being the coach? Or being the leader and being the coach? What's the difference between this being your meeting and you being the coach in this meeting?
Right. So if I was leading the meeting, I'd be telling everybody what the objectives were, what we're going to cover, when we're going to cover it. I'd be managing the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the coach in it, I would be helping people notice what's happening, when we're being productive, when we're not being productive.
Mm-hmm.
I would help people notice behavior. I would help people notice That's the big thing. That's the bigger thing. Just helping people notice what's happening in the meeting so that we don't get, we don't go spiral downwards.
Right. Did they make in the session a few weeks ago, did they make a commitment to change this behavior?
You mean in the really bad meeting that we had on Monday?
No, I mean the one for like 4 weeks ago where you said, you know, we talked about the vision and what needs to change in order to reach that vision.
Right. No, they didn't talk about behavior. What they talked about was the work that needs to be done.
Okay.
So we're very, very good at talking about the work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. We're just not in agreement about how the work should be done. And then the behavior is something that is what I would call an elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. So the first time that we talked about it was when we did the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they all went, right, right, we do that. And that's terrible. We need to stop doing that. And so I have been able to call them out on it a few times. In fact, I called them out on it on this process where they started on it. And then they're like, no, we think we need to do it this way.
Do you feel like you have a clear coaching contract with them in this role of coach?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I think that they depend on me to wear so many different hats.
Mm-hmm.
I have no authority over anyone yet in that none of them report to me.
Right.
But yet they all look to me for different things. They look to me to help resolve conflict, you know, when it occurs. They look to me. I mean, most of them I have a one-on-one. Well, some of them I have a one-on-one relationship with where we do have a coaching contract, where I'm helping them achieve a specific leadership goal that they're working towards. You know, so one of them is like,
I'm just imagining you showing up in this meeting wearing a, you know, referee jersey and a whistle.
And that, I don't like that. I don't want it to be like that. I don't want, you know, I don't want to be managing the children. That's the feeling I don't like. Mm-hmm. And that when the day that I got frustrated, that's what it felt like. Felt mm-hmm. like I had a whistle and a referee hat. And it mm-hmm. felt like I blew the whistle and said, enough. Get back in your corners, move on. That's what it felt like. And that I don't think helps us see or change behavior.
So if this meeting should be owned by X, then do you have a contract with X of what's going to happen, of what your role should be in this meeting? And what their role should be in this meeting?
No, I mean, I have spoken with the two leaders and mm-hmm. said, this is what is expected of you in this meeting. I didn't use that language.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, this is your opportunity to do this. Like this mm-hmm. is what I said to the contact person. So you're getting distracted by all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
This is your opportunity to share what your vision is, what you think is important, what you think the big milestones are, and what you think the issues to resolve are.
Mm-hmm.
This is your opportunity to get everyone aligned on that. Take it. Like you have all the important people in the room.
Okay. So, and then the next step of that conversation might be, even today, might be, and when we're in this meeting next week, what role do you want me to play to support you as the coach in the meeting?
Right.
Or you could say, my understanding is that my priority right now is to work on really keeping us focused on this culture, this more open culture, this more collaborative, innovative culture. So how can I help you do that in this meeting?
Okay. I think that would work better. Because on the other sense, I actually don't feel like I'm there to support the person. I think I'm right. there to support the company.
Yeah.
And so, which means arguably that I'm also supporting the people, but in my mind, it's what's the right thing for us collectively as a group. And mm-hmm. so if a particular leader is getting defensive, then, you know, I've got to help them get out of that defensive state.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've noticed a number of times in our conversation, and I've kind of called you on it a couple of times, you're using language like, I've got to.
Yes.
You're using language which is that it's your problem.
I do feel like it's, I feel like it's my opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's the way I can help.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's...
But do you see the distinction that I'm making, Carolyn, between you being the driver and you being the coach?
Maybe that's the issue that's getting in the way, because I'm not seeing that.
Okay.
Tell me more. What are you noticing?
Well, I hear you saying things like, I have to facilitate this, or, you know, I didn't use these words, but, you know, I have to drive this process because nobody else will.
Okay. In that case, I see the driver conversation. Yes.
But at the same time, you're saying it's not my job to be driving the process. It's my job to be supporting the people in driving the process.
Yeah. And I'm trying, and I'm doing both.
Yeah.
And I think it's overbalanced. It's misbalanced.
And can you see that if you step into the driver role, it kind of undermines your ability to be the coach role?
Yes.
Because you're now like a vested player. You're on a side instead of being like a supporter and arbiter or coach or ally for the process.
Yeah. But when I say, so I want to understand this. So when I say I've got to help, you know, whatever, like, so is, no, I'm confused. So when we're in the meeting, I see my role as, I do feel like I need to, so this is where I'm curious if this is what you mean by driver. I do feel like I need to facilitate the quality of the conversation. I genuinely feel like I need to do that, because if I don't, I know exactly how these conversations go. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that I have coached both the leaders on the role of this particular meeting.
So when you say that, and I may be mishearing you, but when you say that, what I'm hearing you saying is that it's now become your responsibility to do it instead of their responsibility to do it.
Oh, I see what you mean. So they need to own their own behavior, but yet I'm not going to sit by and watch it happen and unravel.
No, but you're also not the person in control.
No, I get that I'm not in control, but I can certainly help.
Yeah. So how can you best help, though? I guess that's the question.
I think I can best help by facilitating the conversation, like not the content of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Not the, is that the right strategy or the wrong strategy?
Mm-hmm.
But by facilitating the tone, the mood, the, you know, et cetera, that kind of stuff.
So
setting the right tone.
So if you said, okay, my job here is going to be to kind of help with the process, but not the content.
Yes.
And I'm going to stop you a couple times during this meeting so we can really make sure the process is on track.
Yeah.
Because we all agreed that we're going to work on improving how we work together, even if we haven't really all agreed.
I can say, because we all know how these meetings can go, mm-hmm. that will actually make people laugh out of sad reality. Yeah. Okay. I think that's helpful. I do think I will I think it would be helpful if I stop the meeting from time to time and help people notice where mm-hmm. we are in the meeting versus what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're getting stuck here.
Yeah.
You know, what could we, you know, what do we need to do to get us back on track? Or what is it what's the question that we're trying to solve for here, or whatever it is in the,
or even, are we off track right now?
Yeah.
Is this the highest and best use of this time? Or
right.
I heard that this meeting is about X. Is that what we're really talking about right now?
Right. That's good language.
So it's, I mean, this group coaching thing is really tough.
Yeah, and I think you're helping remind me of, you know, even just as I listen to your language, you're helping remind me that I'm more invested than I'm willing to admit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said, what do you need to let go of? I'm like, no, I don't need to let go of anything. Except my denial. So this is getting clearer. So I think if I can imagine what it's like. It's tough because, you know, I've spent many more years in the driver role than I have in the coaching role. So it comes very easily and naturally to me.
And you've had a lot of positive reinforcement for that.
Very successful. So I think if I can, when I start to think about meetings where I have been invited to facilitate the meeting and I know nothing about the intricacies and often the personalities, those meetings, I find it really easy to be the coach. Mm-hmm. And so here, what do I need to let go of? I need to let go of some of my preconceived notions mm-hmm. of how things are going to go. I need to let go of doing the CEO's job mm-hmm. because I find that they're often waiting to be led versus leading.
Right. And your big part of your job is to train them.
Right. Right. And I do think, I mean, today I was happy that I spent the time with them, and the last thing they want to do is get on the phone today because there's so much going on right now in New York, but I'm happy I've made them. Because I think that in talking about how we want to be in that meeting, that's coaching them on yeah. how they need to, they could be more effective. And they were great in being able to think about and come up with how we need to be in the meeting and why. So yeah, okay, this is really helpful. What I need to do is sit back and remember the last time that I did this when I was not invested.
Mm-hmm.
And what made that work? How was I helpful for the people and for the process?
Yeah.
And what are the things that made that work? And I need to let go of my desire to drive to a successful outcome.
Yeah.
But I can't completely let go. You know, it's interesting, on that crazy meeting on Monday, I just let them go. And I just watched the whole thing unfold. And I decided not to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, arguably, I could have helped much earlier on. But I think it was really great to let it go so that everyone could see just how challenging it is for us to get aligned and really speak the same language and understand each other.
So if you are really firmly wearing this hat of coach to the business,
mm-hmm.
and your mandate right now is what?
My mandate is to support people in having productive conversations about the future.
Okay. And you tell everyone that's what you're doing.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. I hadn't thought about being intentional in the way that you would in a one-on-one conversation. So I think that's great.
Okay. Well, I don't know. How are you feeling now? You sound a little more calm to me.
Yeah. No, I am. Like there's... So what's happening for me now is I feel like I had a whole bunch of stuff swirling in my head. And I feel like now it's simpler. And the biggest aha for me was that I was way more invested in the success of this program than I thought I was. And I think it's because I know how good it can be.
Yeah.
But I need them to see it. And so they're going to see it on their own terms.
And you really like this company and you see all this potential.
Yeah.
It's a really cool company.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
If they could just...
They could just get their shit together. No, I feel... So that's good. I feel so much better about that. And I feel clearer. Because I'll share the biggest difference, I think, for me. I feel like now I can be centered when I walk into that meeting on Monday morning.
Great.
And I think that's going to make a massive difference because I think people will feel it.
Yeah.
And already they feel like I'm their champion. So if they feel like I am calm versus frantic, I think it will help them. And I feel like I will be able to more objectively see what's happening in the room and help people work through it.
And you said before helping them notice what's happening.
Yeah. Notice. That's what I want. I want them to see it rather. I mean, they get into amygdala spirals so quickly and you can just see how it's like,
yeah.
Crazy. So the reactivity is very strong.
So instead of the referee jersey, you're going to walk in wearing the t-shirt that says, I'm here to support productive conversations about the future by helping you notice.
Right. And I'm going to be in a Zen state. So I'll be a sense of calm.
Mm-hmm.
When everything gets crazy.
Right, because it probably will get crazy based on past
it will. It definitely will get crazy at certain times. There's just so many deep, deep things that have not been resolved.
And that's okay. It's, you know, it's going to take some time.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting. Basically, I have to live the message I gave to the CEOs today.
Yeah.
Which is just accept everything that comes in and don't get angry with it. Don't let yourself get angry with it. Just accept it and say, okay, this is good. This is good that we know this.
And it's better if people are agitated than if they're passive.
Yes. Actually, that's such a good point because people are agitated because they care so much.
Yeah.
We do have an incredibly passionate group of people and they're so freaking talented. It's crazy. Yeah. So, I have shared that with them before.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like you have a plan for your next meeting.
I have a plan for my next meeting. I have a vision that I can do more of this type of work, helping people notice and shift in the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, I'm trying to help out in areas where I'm really trying to help them create more discipline around stuff that arguably somebody else should be handling this.
And
I can use this opportunity to coach people to help get in that mindset and stay in that mindset so that we can solve some of these problems.
Right. And that if you take on those problems, yourself,
mm-hmm.
you lose your ability to do what you really want to do.
Right.
And what you're really, where you really will create the most value.
Right.
So it's not that by saying, well, you know, I'm not doing that. It's not that you're not doing your share or you're not being effective. You're preserving your role for where you really are effective.
Right. I think that's a biggie.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very easy for me to help solve the problem. So that's great.
Whatever you say yes to, you're saying no to something else.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, so in terms of just follow up, how will you know that you did what you plan to do?
I will know, number one, by how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get a huge amount of satisfaction from being the coach,
mm-hmm.
and not getting, if I'm frustrated, it means I'm getting caught up in the problem.
You're being a player instead of being the coach.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's going to be my number one signal.
Okay.
And, and so, yeah, that's going to be my number one signal. That's how I'm going to know.
You could have a little notepad next to you and just kind of like make a little feeling graph as the meeting's going along.
And I'll just start going, oh my gosh.
Red alert.
Yeah. Okay. Because I know when I can let go of that, I can stay in a very different state and I'll be far more helpful.
So will you email me on Monday and share your feeling graph with me?
I will.
Okay.
I'll let you know, scale of 1 to 10.
Perfect.
Just how successful I've been able to